Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You like to get the ball around the end. You like to get you where you're on the first. You like to get you.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
These are the things that have been hurting us all along, the little things. We're working at them to stop them.
Tell Aaron Rodgers to stop playing football because I don't want him in the NFC anymore.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What? Oh! Oh!
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Whoops.
My tooth smelled like rotten eggs today, just so you know. It's going to be a great day.
I wondered what that was. When I walked in, I thought, you know what? Somewhere between a scrambled egg and, like, curdled milk.
Yeah, no, it's odd.
That's you, then.
Yeah, that
wasn't Sansevier, was it?
Well, that could have been Sansevier.
You
I don't
never
really
know, though.
Like
he always
works
smells.
On a farm.
Well, yeah, he always smells.
So got
I think he comes in
guy.
Here with some of those... Those kickers that he wears out there in the barn to shovel manure.
I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? Name that movie. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Greg? You said Greg, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you got me. I want to say Kingpin, but no way.
No, Danny De Niro said it to Ben Stiller in Meet the Parents. The first, because he's like, I've even milked a cat.
Oh.
And then Robert
De Niro. I've never really been a big Ben Stiller fan until just like the last couple movies he's been in. Night at the Museum and The Incredible Life of Walter Mitty.
I watched some of they were okay. I mean, yeah. Did you ever see Meet the Parents?
I did not.
When that first came out, I thought that was one of the funnier movies I had ever seen. When I saw it in the theater, I laughed my begoingas off. Speaking of begoingas, the Vikings have signed a guy that is the same name that I call my dog when I'm giving him some loving. They signed 6'9", 351-pounder Ushki Bushki
to the Vikings, everybody.
Ushki Bushki.
Just when you thought you were going to really suffer from something up front on the offensive line, maybe the offensive left guard, Ushki Bushki shows up.
Ushki Bushki.
So he's in town now.
Yeah.
6'9", 350.
Yeah, 51 pounds, yeah.
Mm. Don't forget that one.
Yeah, no, you can't forget the one. It's funny because I was reading the release that the ESPN released on the NFL. And there was agent Jeff Griffin came into contact with Ushki Bushki through Texas Tech assistant coach Kevin Curtis. Okay? Griffin says, so Kevin called me and was like, hey, man, watch this, which was the highlights of Ushki Bushki. Said, you're going to call me back, Griffin said. I looked at the video, and I was like, quote, what the heck is that?
What the heck is that? Just a great big guy, Polish guy. I think only like the third or fourth.
Fifth.
Fifth one
but
now.
Three of them are kickers. Three Polish people.
It'd be safe to say Ushki Bushki is not a kicker at 6'9", 351.
That'd be great, though. Just got his visa to come over to the United States last Thursday, the 19th. Arrived here at 3:50 a.m. arrived in San Antonio 3:50 a.m. on Saturday.
They probably just put him aboard underneath the plane and just fly him in as crate.
You know, this is nothing to make a joke about, but you know that plane that crashed?
Yeah.
In the Alps or whatever, German wings. And we're hearing today, and this I know this is a sports station that says nothing to a sports, but that the co-pilot had locked the pilot out of the cockpit and, like, ran the plane into the mountains, I guess, on purpose, is what it looks like. If Ushki Bushki was on the plane, 6'9", 351 pounds, if there's anybody that's going to get through that cockpit door, it's going to be Ushki Bushki.
I got to think he would have owned that door pretty easily, but... Then I think I'll probably, like I said before, anytime he flies anywhere, he probably flies his freight. They probably check him below the plane with some of the other...
He can't survive up there in freight. Ushki Bushki's real name is Babatunde Ayagbadusi. Ayagbusi. Related to Gary Busey, I guess.
Or Todd Stussy, I guess.
Yeah. All of the above. They're all one big happy family.
I don't think that any of that would be good, though. Gary Busey and Todd Stussy with Bushy Bagushki. Teddy Brushki. I don't think that could be a good combination. However, the height and the weight, that's kind of what the offensive linemen are going at now. these tackles are all about 6 feet eight, 6 feet nine. These are guys that didn't probably make it in basketball. Literally, I've seen this happen right here locally, where it's you'd be a dime a dozen basketball player at 6 feet nine and about 270 pounds, but you'd be a diamond in the rough offensive lineman if you have your same basketball feet, and we can put some more weight on you, and you become a great big offensive lineman with those long arms. You learn how to pass protect, and you know what you're doing with your hands. Now you're 6 feet nine, 350 instead of 275. We'll beef you up. I think that's what they're doing with a lot of these kids now.
Oh, for sure.
Because you can write your own paycheck if you're that basketball player athlete, but bigger and still soft with your feet and your hands.
You got to be quick with your feet, and that's what I'm hoping Ushki Bushki is. Just watching the highlight reel that I know was sent to you and Bob and myself.
Yep.
And he's playing with guys that come up to his belly button, and he's run blocking. And, yeah, he looks amazing in run blocking because he's going against guys that come up to his navel or maybe his peter area.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah,
it's easy to push guys. I mean, I can push around eight-year-olds all day long.
Yeah, I have not lost a one-on-one pass protection drill against a six-year-old.
I didn't see him pass protect, though. That doesn't look good.
Or a woman.
Yeah.
Not yet. I know how to pick my matches,
though. I know you do.
I'm not going to take on like a full-grown man or something.
Ushki Bushki.
Ushki Bushki, along with Teddy Bruschi, Todd Stussy, and Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Quite a clan. If that in the same room, I got to think Ushki Bushki is the smartest one of the bunch.
You think so?
Yeah. I know it isn't Todd.
Well, no. Although Todd, I thought you said Todd's going to be a lawyer.
He's pretty smart.
So yeah. But he's just awful. He's just the stupidest football player of all time.
And the worst bracket guy in the world, too, by the way. I think out of 100, he's 96 or 7.
It's funny bringing up the brackets. We're going to talk to Amelia Reno from the Star Tribune.
Oh, it'll be good to talk with her.
Gopher men's basketball beat writer for the Star Tribune. She got tweets.
I'll bet she got
she tweets
did.
About how bad her bracket was and this and that. And she read them almost like they do on Jimmy Kimmel, where you read the bad tweets about yourself.
Yeah.
I got a pretty interesting tweet I think it was this morning, and it was hilarious. Some guy hates me. I got to pull this up here. He loves me, but he hates me.
Yeah.
He compared me to Sid Hartman. He said,
is that mine that I tweeted to you about 30 minutes ago?
No, I didn't see that one yet.
I sent one very much like that.
Andy Schletz, I didn't get yours. He said, Ben Holson, at Ben Holson 105, I deeply love you. However, I got to say, when you talk about soccer, you sound like Sid Hartman. Hugs. I retweeted that. I thought that was cute.
What the hell does he have a problem with? I mean, I think you know everything about soccer.
About soccer? Well, when it comes to soccer, I may know a couple of more things than you do. I played soccer, but other than that, I mean... I mean, what's there to know? You run around, you pass the ball, you shoot in the net every once in a while, and they say goal, and then they blow vuvuzelas.
Vuvuzelas are all you have to know. The word vuvuzelia.
Have a couple of beers, and you go home. I mean, what else is there to know about? I mean, I know that.
And he thought you didn't know anything about hockey. I mean, for me, that's what you run around and you kick it. Can't use your hands. Stop it before it goes in the net. Game.
Seems like a nice guy though, Andy Schletz. Happy hubby, proud dad. Thanks for the tweet, my man. I love those tweets.
He loves to hate you.
I deeply love you. However, I got to say, when you talk about soccer, you sound like Sid Hartman.
I deeply love you.
That was very kind of him.
Although, I think there's a lot more hatred that rings through with that tweet. But that's kind of a big deal. I mean, I think that you and I just sort of talk about it as something just to sort of talk about, like fodder, when you talk about soccer.
I mean, what
But I mean... It's a big... They're coming to town. There's going to be a franchise here in this town.
Maybe.
Nah, they're coming in.
No, maybe.
Nah, they don't announce stuff like that.
That's what they said, though, after... what's his nuts? MLS commissioner. We'll talk about this in 4.5 questions coming up at 4:30. The commissioner said, we've set a deadline for July...
They're going to do
it. To get this stadium thing figured out. And if it doesn't get done by July, then we're going to reconsider the fact of why maybe we're not even going to come here. Which is one of the questions that I'll ask you at 4:30. Well, then why would you announce if that's the case?
That's what I said, too. I mean, yesterday, I mean, they made it sound like we're coming. We just don't know quite yet the logistics of where the stadium will be and who's going to fund it. But they each and every one of that group could fund it on their own pretty easily.
Here's the thing that I know doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense because they're not affiliated with the University of Minnesota, but it makes so much sense in other ways. It's a grass field. It's outdoors.
Yep.
It's TCF Bank Stadium. It's already built. They can lease it from the University of Minnesota until they get their thing built or whatever. I mean, wasn't it last spring or fall that the Minnesota Vikings had some sort of soccer extravaganza there? I mean, TCF Bank Stadium's perfect.
The Vikings didn't do anything like that, did they?
Yeah.
We're at the Metrodome?
No, at the Vikings Dome? At TCF Bank Stadium. Well, I mean, they were trying to get the Minnesota United FC or they were trying to get the MLS
Hockey. Oh, you mean when the Wilfs were trying? I understand now. Yes, they did do that. I really don't know what you could do as far as putting a soccer team. They, I mean, they play long, long seasons, don't they? So they would tear that field up pretty good, wouldn't they? Along with football?
I think it's fine. I think football teams tear up the field more than soccer players do.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
Soccer players?
I almost drowned on a football field because it was so torn up.
Soccer players are like floating. That's all like...
I know it.
Baba Gadoosh they are. What's this guy's name that we signed? Baba Gadooshki?
Bushki Gadooshki. I don't know. Bushki Kabushki Stussy.
Baba Tunde Baba Gadoosh.
I know one thing. He's big and he's the fifth Polish football player to be signed in the NFL. I've played with the first ever Australian football player ever signed.
Who was that?
And drafted. His name was Colin...
Loeffler?
No.
Jeff Locke?
Let's see. Colin Scott's.
Oh.
Or Scott. Remember Colin Scott with the 87 St. Louis Cardinals. And I think his name was either Scott or Scott.
Wow. He had a great
Colin
career.
Scott. And he was a defensive end. And I think he played at the University of Hawaii.
How could I ever forget about that guy?
Yeah. Well, whenever he had a sack, he had two or three sacks in the NFL. He would get up. And you know what his dance was?
I don't know.
Take a good guess. He's from Australia.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
Well, something
kangaroo kicking dance.
That's exactly what it was.
He kicked like a kangaroo?
He jumped like a kangaroo with his hands together, and he would hop around the quarterback like a kangaroo.
Oh,
I think they're also known as marsupials. I think they're nocturnal when they feed. They have large hooves.
I'm nocturnal when I feed.
Their hooves are razor sharp.
I'm nesting right now.
Are you nesting right now?
Yeah.
Colin Scott or Colin Scott. Look that up. By the way, the interesting story.
You look it up.
You look it up, you son of a bitch. I think his dad owned 3 gold mines. Really?
In Australia.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to spell it.
Pretty interesting, though. You don't even know how to spell Australia, so don't even try and look it up.
Colin Scott. He's on Wikipedia. Looks like he's a golfer.
He probably does.
Radio Roulette. Here we go. Hi, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Who's this?
Here we go. Radio Roulette.
My name is Brian.
Brian,
yeah,
what's up?
Brian, what the hell are you up to?
Oh, it took me right away. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just driving along here. I was listening to Mike, and you guys were talking about playing field, stuff like that with the soccer.
Yeah.
And I just had a discussion with my kid. He wanted to know why stadium or the NFL isn't united as far as the conditions of the playing field. I mean, each team is worth $1 billion or more, and you've got fields that are in atrocious conditions. You look at, you know, I mean, even some of the playoff games have been played on terrible, terrible turfs. And you can look at Oakland Stadium, and it's all torn up all the time because it's, you know, they get infield there, and players are getting hurt on that stuff all the time. And you think that would be one thing that the players' union and the owners could agree on is coming up with some kind of uniform requirement for field conditions.
That's a good point. I mean, and there have been some coaches that have taken their teams back into the locker room and said, we're not going to play today. That field is an absolute mess. There are chuck holes all over where the sprinklers are and the irrigation is. Brian Billick took the Ravens back in the locker room. He said, we're not playing. They had to play another day later, I believe, with the Ravens against, I want to say it was a fairly new field, and they were testing these new blocks of, you know, playing
sod.
Turf and player sod. And that you would replace the sod when it got old with new blocks of new sod that came in squares. And it left the sideline with a rut, like a trough. It was like 3 or 4 inches deep. And Billick walks out. They showed it on NFL films, him stepping down into this groove and then back up onto where the players sit on the sidelines. He goes, we're not playing on this.
I don't blame him at
all. We're not going to play on this.
Isn't it better than, I mean, you played at Veterans Memorial Stadium. It was at Philadelphia, which is awful, where everybody was tearing their ACLs. I mean, the Metrodome wasn't very good for a while
horrible.
There because it was concrete.
Hard.
You had the pitcher's mound. It was elevated just a little bit. I want to say Houston, the Astrodome back in the day.
I played there, too.
But I mean, this grass has to be better, even if it's uneven, than some of that jicky-jack stuff that artificial turf was.
Like, you know how the irrigation on a golf course or on a football field, on a poor, like a high school field, you can see where the sprinkler heads pop up when they come on. But, man, that's a rut for a wide receiver or running back. You turn your ankle in that thing.
It's unbelievable.
So, anyway, yeah. But, being the billion-dollar franchises that they are, you don't want to lose a big-time running back or a wide receiver because... You know, your big time operation can't afford to keep a level playing field, you know, and the conditions of the field to match, you know, the value of the team. You've got to really have a manicured field to keep some of the... I mean, you're going to get hurt anyway in football. Let's control the things we can control and keep the field nice.
Thanks for calling, my man. Caller 7 right now, though, 651-989-9105. Get a four-pack of tickets to the Minnesota Swarm. We have tickets all afternoon today. Lower-level Swarm tickets start as low as $21 and can be purchased by calling 1-888-MN-SWARM or by visiting mnswarm.com. Caller 7, though, gets a four-pack of Swarm tickets at 651-989-9105. Good luck, you sissy pants. Wait a second.
That's what it says. Exactly what it says. You wrote this, didn't you?
Yeah. Sissy take a break, our ladies.
Let's take a little break. Oh, Amelia Reno's hanging on. Can't wait to break down the Iowa State victories in the brackets, and we can break that down with Amelia. She is the Minnesota Golden Gopher men's basketball beat reporter, and she's our friend right here on this very show. We'll come back with her next.
That's why I'm crushing you, because I am a downright fool. I'm a fool. I pity the fool.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes to play. If you know a little bit about the NCAA tournament and men's basketball at this time of year, March Madness, you're better off not trying to think about it for too long, because it really is just sort of random, very random. And someone who can talk on this subject, Amelia Reno from University of Minnesota Golden Gopher men's basketball program.
Amelia, are you there? Would you be friends with me if I talk like this?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
That's very nice of you.
Hi, Amelia.
I'm fine. Amelia, how are you?
How's it going?
Go bad. Cyclones. I'll put it that way.
It was funny. Amelia Reno,
it was a comedy joke, right?
Had like a video on StarTribune.com the other day where you were reading tweets, which was funny, a la, what is it, Jimmy Kimmel who does that, reads the poor tweets about yourself. But it's true. Everybody that knows what they're doing...
Yep.
Never really finished as well. Jim Rich, who admittedly says, I'm just honest to God guessing. He's a hockey guy. He knows sports of all things. But
he does.
When it comes to college basketball, this team, that team, East Coast, West Coast, he admits that he's not the best when it comes. And he's leading our brackets. He's unbelievable.
That always seems to happen. But, you know, if I'm being honest, I mean, if I was, you know, if I'm looking at the best team all season and saying who's going to win my national championship, it's Kentucky. But I did not want to pick Kentucky. And frankly, I think that Kentucky could very well go down in this thing. It's very hard to stay perfect all the way through, obviously. We know how rarely it happens. So I did like Iowa State's chances, and I definitely got burned by that. As did, I think, a lot of people, but probably not so many people actually picking them as their champion, as I did. But you know what? Yeah. I'm moving on from it. I'm 17th in the Star Tribune pool, a statistic I have been flaunting around the office quite a bit in the last couple of days, just because I got so much crap after Iowa State went down. So I'm still hanging on, and I'm rooting ruthlessly against Kentucky.
No, well, that's the only way I can win. But, Amelia, I'm in 16th place on the 105 the ticket bracket. You're in 31st place, and God knows where the superstar is. Can't even fight him. I don't even think he's on the list anymore. I think he fell off the list.
Who was your champion, Ben?
Kentucky.
Oh, well. Yeah, we got to knock you out. We got to knock all of you folks out.
I had Iowa State up through the Elite Eight. I'm right alongside you.
But, you know, it's very, very... Well, I mean, if you go to Vegas, right, and you want to win some money, you don't pick the favorite. I mean, if you really want to, like, make a splash in these things, you got to take some risks, you know?
I agree. I mean, I did all the way through it. I thought early on
and your champion is Kentucky, I mean, you just have no chance.
My national champion is Kentucky.
Yeah, but I'm not in Vegas. So I'm not trying to win money. I'm just trying to beat you. And I'm just glad that I'm beating the guy named Poopyhead, who's in 179th place on 105theticket.com.
Oh,
Poopyhead.
Okay.
Total of 27 points.
Positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I'd get cute with Northern Iowa. And I had them over Louisville. Well, that worked out really well.
I think a lot of people were a little bit high on Northern Iowa, so you weren't alone there.
Yeah. I actually think I could be okay by the time it's all said and done. I still have three teams that could make it into the Final Four. So, I mean, I'm still in this thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, University of Arizona.
But again, I mean, the thing is, when you pick Kentucky, though, if you get so far behind, it's really hard to make up ground, because so many people have Kentucky that have better brackets than you.
That's why I like my chances against Jim Rich, because he's got Wichita State to beat Kentucky to make it to the Final Four. Then he's got Wisconsin to get into the national championship game, I believe, against Duke.
Which could very well happen.
I mean, he's got Wisconsin winning it all.
It's been a couple of days. I mean, most people are going through NCAA March Madness withdrawal. We finally get games back on the TV tonight, CBS and TBS. The first game, Wichita State versus Notre Dame, followed by North Carolina, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and Kentucky, Xavier, and Arizona. Those are the games tonight. Now, Amelia, I was you know, going through StarTribune.com, and I saw something there where you said that Kentucky could likely lose. Are you picking an upset tonight?
Yeah, actually, I feel like West Virginia might be the toughest test that they get just from a sheer matchup perspective. Because obviously West Virginia is this really tough defensive full court pressing team. And Kentucky really hasn't faced much of that all year. And when they have, they've really struggled against it. The Harrison brothers aren't great ball handlers. You know, they can be trapped. Their point guard, Ulis, is small. So, and the other thing is really one of their big weaknesses, one of the only real weaknesses you can point to on this team all year, has been on the defensive boards. They just have not been a good defensive rebounding team, despite all their size, for whatever reason. And that's one other thing that West Virginia does very, very well is offensive rebounds. So I think they've got a chance, and I went out on a limb in today's Star Tribune and called it. So I'm going to go down in flames, or I'm going to redeem myself with this hot take, I think. But yeah, I think, I mean, you know, they also could, West Virginia, I mean, they've been a little bit up and down this year, so they also could get blown out by 20, but I like them to win this one.
To win this game, okay.
And then, win this game. To put Kentucky's perfection.
Wow. But I think you might have a good point there. Rarely does the top team go the distance. And I think Barack Obama's got two out of the last 7 years. And both of them, I think this year he's with Kentucky, and I think he might be onto something for a third one. But how about Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of, obviously this Kentucky team is extremely elite, better than maybe some people would argue some NBA teams right now. But, you know, I mean, there's been other very, very, very strong teams in the past that have put together,
And that's why I said Obama, because he always bets the chalk line all the way down to the final game, and then he takes the obvious winner. And he's been right two times out of those 7 years that he's done that. He's the best example to use, because he just takes it the way the chart comes down to the championship game and just picks the chalk the whole way.
He's in 87th place on our bracket at 105theticket.com.
He probably has a couple of other, you know, semi-important things on his mind.
Yeah, maybe.
Other than going back and forth with the Ken Palm.
Yeah, no, I guess he probably does have a few things going on.
Amelia,
I don't know what it would be.
You're the smartest person I know when it comes to college basketball, and so I've been asking our guy Jerry Zagoda, because he covers the Minnesota Timberwolves, and now I'm going to ask you. There are two guys that I want the Minnesota Timberwolves to draft. We don't say the first guy's name. He plays center. He's number 15. He plays for Duke, okay? We just don't say his name. We don't say his name on this show, because we don't want to jinx anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like him, or do you like Karl-Anthony Towns better from Kentucky? Karl-Anthony Towns, in my opinion, he can rebound, he can shoot free throws, he can shoot, he can run the floor, he can protect the rim, he blocks shots, whereas Okafor to me, the who shall not be named.
Wow, you blew
Sorry,
that
it was
one.
An
Way
accident.
To go. Way to go.
No, stop it. It was an accident. Please forgive me.
You said that because you want the other guy.
No, well, I do, but he can, I mean, he's great offensively, but he's also playing against guys that are half his size, too. Which one do you like better? Which one do you think is going to be a better pro?
I like the player that shall not be named.
I do too.
I think he's got a higher upside.
Yeah.
And he's just so, I mean, he's just has his natural ability is just
fundamentally he's very sound. I think he's Tim Duncan all over again. That's my thought. I think his fundamentals are incredible. I really believe he's like Tim Duncan. And that's what Grant Hill was calling him all last weekend, was that he is very much like this little mold of a new Tim Duncan. And I think that's right. He does have his back to the rim a lot of the time. A lot of his stuff is just shuffling down in the paint.
And I think we're seeing him only get better, too, throughout this season, you know. So,
I feel that same way about Carl Anthony Towns, who can actually hit free throws, runs pretty well, plays defense, which is what I think the Minnesota Timberwolves could use. But we can agree to disagree. It happens all the time. Can we run down these games here real quick before we have to let you go, Amelia, and just
who you think
is going to win. So number 7, Wichita State versus number 3, and this is the Midwest bracket, number 3, Notre Dame tonight at on CBS.
I'm excited about this game. I think it's going to be a really good one. I actually like Wichita State to upset Notre Dame, even though I was pretty high on Notre Dame coming into the tournament. But they haven't looked like the team that they were in the ACC tournament at all, and their offense has been really down. So, and then Wichita State has such good defense, too. I think they'll be able to stop them.
Well, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked.
He makes these silly jokes and he thinks he's funny.
I wrote that one.
Number 4, North Carolina. This also in the this in the West bracket. Number 4, North Carolina.
She says, is that supposed to be some kind of joke?
Number 1, Wisconsin. Isn't she great?
I know.
Is it the ball?
I'm going Wisconsin here.
Wisconsin.
The tank.
I think they're by far the better team. UNC's been a little bit up and down this year. I think Wisconsin, they play really different styles, you know, and UNC likes to run, and Wisconsin, although not quite as drawing it out as they used to be, still really slow it down. I think they're better at their style than UNC is at theirs.
All right, back to the Midwest bracket. Number 5, West Virginia. Number 1, Kentucky. We were talking about this. I think you're picking upset West Virginia.
Yes, I am. West Virginia. And then they're going to get killed afterwards.
Look at her go.
But they're getting past. They're going to get Kentucky out of this.
Is that supposed to be some kind of joke? Oh, okay. No, it wasn't. No, you really believe that? You really do think that's going to happen?
She doesn't find you amusing.
I can clearly tell that. There was so many crickets in that voice of, over that microphone on that side.
No, you know, I'm taking a risk.
I know it.
But I really do think it could happen. Maybe if these teams play 5 times, West Virginia wins once. But I think they actually have the skill set, and it's just a really good matchup that it could happen.
That'll be fun game to watch. I believe it's 8:45 on CBS. And then finally in the West bracket here, number 6, Xavier versus number 2, Arizona. I believe it is coaching mentor versus coaching mentee. It's going to be another big game later on tonight.
Yes, and I see Arizona winning this. I think they're just a much, much better team than Xavier right now, and probably one of the top 2 teams in this tournament right now.
And Amelia, what would happen, do you think, just hypothetically speaking, if Arizona met up with Wisconsin? What do you think? What would you see in that one if it turned out that way?
Yeah, I have that in my bracket, and I have Arizona winning that one.
Me too.
I like that matchup, too. That would be fun to watch.
It would be.
Arizona's just been so good on both ends of the ball, and I think, if they're a team that can maybe stop Frank Kaminsky, as much as anyone can.
I agree. Thank you, Amelia.
My pleasure.
See you, Ms. Reno.
She's the best in the business. She actually knows what she's talking about, and that Iowa State thing was not a bad selection. I mean, we talked with, I think it was Brandon Lang from Las Vegas.
We'll talk to
everything
him again
about
today.
Everything, and he had Iowa State, I think, to go to the championship game or at least the Final Four. Anyway, we're going to do the 4.5 questions segment of our show right after this break, and you'll be amazed at some of the questions he will ask. He even has something tricky called a half of a question that he will ask at that time as well. We'll do that all next.
We have to make sure that we get back to being a real tough team to play against in our building. That's not just about going out and making nicer plays, for sure, that's part of it, but a lot of that stuff comes from all the little things in your game, and playing with speed, playing physical, playing the type of game that brings momentum to your team, that's what we got to make sure we're focused on.
I mean, that's all you can do. Stay focused. Stay on track. I think they got, I'm pretty sure I read today in the paper that they've got 5 of the next 8, the last 8 games at home. So that sets things up pretty well, I think, for that playoff run that we find ourselves trying to get into.
Even though they've only won 3 of their last 7 games at home, on that 10-game road winning streak, franchise best.
I still like it. I like it that we're finishing up at home, and that we've got everything sort of coming right down to the nitty-gritty, and we're playing well. We're just playing so well. I think that it's going to work well for us down the stretch because of the momentum we have coming down the stretch. So you'd hate to. I think this team is the kind of team that is just that we've made it. They know they've made it, and they can't stand the thought of coming this distance without making it into the playoffs.
They
and I think once
know.
They get in, they could do some damage too.
I think you're absolutely right there, bud.
We have 4.5 questions. That might be one of your questions right there. I don't
four
know.
And a half questions. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I guess you're just going to have to wait
we'll
and find out.
We'll just have to find out.
Half it. Get it? Some guy just tweeted, Bill Lornston. Hey, superstar, if he's got half a question, is that the same as a half-asked question? Does that make any sense to you?
That makes a lot of sense to me. For you to ask me a question like that, it makes a lot of sense. It is a half-assed question with a half-assed answer by the
way. Asked. Yeah. Asked.
I know it. It's a half-asked and a half-assed question with a half-assed sort of a reply. Okay. So anyway, go ahead.
Are you ready?
Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Are you sure you're ready?
I don't know.
Okay, question one.
Yeah.
Wild head coach Mike Yeo. We just heard from
yes,
him.
I heard.
He's getting sick of answering questions about the Dubinator. Everybody's asking.
I think
him.
We all are. It's amazing.
Me too. After Tuesday's game in New York, Yeo said he's more worried about what happens if Dubie doesn't start instead of what's going to happen if he continues to start the Dubinator. You played a team sport. Can you remember one guy that made this big of a difference in a playoff contending team equal to or better than that of the Dubie-Dubie-Doo man and what he means to the Wild this season?
I really don't. I can't think of anything that I did in the past. With the football, I can't think. Football is such a team game. You have to have everybody working on all cylinders. But, I mean, if you have a guy that can stand in front of the net and stop everything and give you a chance to put one in the goal and win it because he's just that good. I mean, that's what this guy has basically done since he's been here. And he's been there the whole way. I'd be, like, a little bit apprehensive to know what would happen if you took him out and saw what happened then. I don't know if that would be a good result, but I do think that maybe one guy that made the biggest difference in winning that I've seen come here by all by himself was Brett Favre, and you always had a pretty good chance to win once he got here. And when he wasn't here, you didn't know what this team was going to do.
Until he started sending pictures of his wiener in the Crocs and then throwing interceptions in the New Orleans Saints game. But other than that, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Question two, Timberwolves. They lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. Showtime. 101-99 yesterday. We were at the game, before the game anyway, Hubert's. Wolves Wednesday. We have a couple of one of those. Rest for the regular season here. Flip Saunders, though, said the Wolves almost drafted Kobe Bryant, fifth overall back in the 1996 NBA draft. Instead of drafting Ray Allen and then trading him to Milwaukee for Chinese basketball superstar Stephon Marbury. The Timberwolves have made more than their fair share of draft pick doozies, including taking Wesley Johnson over DeMarcus Cousins. We talk about that all the time. Johnny Flynn over Steph Curry. It hurts my head to even think about it, but was missing out on Kobe Bryant, who would have teamed up with Kevin Garnett. The biggest mistake the Wolves franchise has ever made. Obviously, hindsight being 2020.
You know, I think you make a pretty good case for Ray Allen. You know, what he's done, what he's managed to do. I mean, one of the great, great, great shooters of all time. I mean, he is smooth as silk, still is playing because he can shoot. Because
he's
he can
not
shoot
playing.
The lights
he decided
out.
He wasn't going to play this year, but yeah, he still could play.
I thought he showed up in some games this year.
He decided not to at last second.
He's a player, and I think that was one of the biggest. We had him for was it an hour, 2 hours before we sent him packing. I don't know. I think in my own mind that was a big one. Stephon Marbury, at least we got him here, and then he just wasn't going to have it. We just made some bad luck moves that could have turned out to be a really good combination. Charles Barkley, I remember saying to Kevin Garnett and to Stephon Marbury when he saw them both on the court warming up at the same time, for the Timberwolves, you two have a chance to be one of the best tandems in basketball history, is what Charles Barkley told him. And Marbury wasn't going to have it. He had to have his own show.
How'd that work out for him?
That worked out great. He's in China.
But he's winning MVPs and championships in China. He's big time over there.
But I think that when you look at his goals and what he wanted for himself in his career, he wanted to go back home and play close to home. Beijing, China is not close to home for him.
No.
Although he's won a lot of championships, it's hard to walk around with a championship ring in the United States and say, I've been world champion four times. For who? Beijing Ducks? Okay.
Question three. Yesterday, the MLS announced that Minnesota is getting a new soccer franchise, maybe, as early as 2017. Though, if they can't get a stadium situation figured out by July, the commissioner named Don Garber said the league would have to reconsider even coming to Minnesota. He said those exact words yesterday. Why would the MLS award an expansion franchise to our city or state that doesn't even have it all figured out? If there's even a chance to make this stadium thing happen, and if it doesn't happen, they're going to reconsider putting a team here? I mean, it seems like they did things in the wrong order.
Thank you. I was just going to answer that way. I think they got the cart before the horse. Why would they come out and say what they said yesterday, the big announcement, and everything looking so up for people around here who love soccer? I mean, it sounded like we were getting a major league, or the MLS.
Supposedly we are.
A soccer franchise. And apparently this is all pending on a stadium being built. Well, why did they say to us what they said yesterday? Well, we have two guys that are joining hands with Manchester United by the name of Glenn Taylor and the Pollad family. So the likelihood of getting a $200 million stadium built with the three of them, along with, I'm sure, public money, I'm sure of it. I wouldn't doubt it.
I want to say Marilyn Carlson Nelson is also part of this. So you got four
really
of the richest people in all of Minnesota. And when
a great
it comes
negotiator,
to $150 to $200 million stadium, the governor today and the mayor of Minneapolis and a bunch of people in Congress or over in St. Paul said, look, I mean, we don't have appetite anymore for public money. We built the Gophers a new stadium, the St. Paul Saints, the Minnesota Twins. We're working on the Minnesota Vikings, $1 billion deal here, renovating Target Center, $150, $200 million. We may help you. Governor Dayton did say they may help him with, like, roads, stuff like that, building stuff around the stadium, widening the exit ramps or this or that.
It would certainly take that if they were going to put it over at the farmer's market.
If people go. That is if people go to the games.
You got to think that 30,000, is that what you guys were talking about? 25,000, 30,000?
Today they said 18,000.
Okay. Well, that's like a high school. That's a pretty good size, like a Division II school, like St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
You would think they'd be able to pull that off, those three kinds of the money that's being drawn into this as a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, set us up with some infrastructure from the state, some pull tabs. We're good.
Sell sponsorships.
Yeah,
do something
I don't
like
know.
That.
You would think. Yeah, I can't believe that they would come in and say what they were going to say yesterday, and say, you know what, those guys would be almost embarrassed to have their names attached to.
Yes.
We can't build a stadium, a $200 million stadium, with the kinds of money they talk about.
But of course, they don't want to spend their own money. They want to spend our money, which is beyond the whole deal.
But anytime we put something up anywhere in the town, that area of town improves, and greatly.
I think it's a great place to improve, because if you've ever been over there, the Humane Society's over there. I mean, it's just not the greatest part. And if people live over there and stuff, but at the North Loop, that's kind of where it stops. They've revitalized that whole area where Smack Shack is.
Oh,
Deja Vu, the office where we're going to go broadcast our Friday Twins games. It's a great area. A question for this summer on May 4th. It's not summer, spring, whatever it is. The Twins will celebrate May the 4th Be With You Day by honoring pitcher Phil Hughes with his first career bobblehead. He's had bobbleheads before, but this is his first, like, him bobblehead day. The bobblehead won't be normal. It's going to be Phil Hughes with a lightsaber. In the bottom it reads, Hughes the Force. Is that a great idea by the Twins Promotions Department to wrangle up some Star Wars freaks to the game, or is it one of the dumbest ideas you've ever heard?
I honestly think that might be the worst thing I've ever heard. Yeah, that might be. It's close to it if it's not.
Poor Phil Hughes. He finally gets his own bobblehead.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, but I don't think they need to pitch it that way. It's bobblehead day, and it's Phil Hughes. Just leave it alone. Don't try and
May 4th in Star Trek and lightsaber.
I get it. I think he's a good guy. I really like him, and I really like the fact that we've got him landed for a few more years. So just give him the bobblehead, and just say let's just hand those out, okay, and not make it look cheesy. You're cheesy, by the way. I'm guessing you have a half question.
I do have a half question. The half question is, what do you think of Nebraska defensive end and beast Randy Gregory?
Yeah, he's a big timer. He's a horse. I'll call him a horse.
He's going to be there at number 11 when the Vikings draft, you know. You heard the latest?
Yeah, he's a monster.
He cannot stay clean. The guy's been doing drugs like crazy.
I saw that yesterday coming across the team stream on Bleacher Report. And I don't know what to say about that, but he is a heck of a football player. I can say that because I know we're going to get Trey Waynes anyway. Doesn't matter. So wherever he goes, I wish him well.
Randy Gregory, from what I'm hearing, is on top of the Vikings draft board. They have him as the number one player available in the draft. We'll talk about What is the best possible outcome for the Vikings' top three picks? I've gone through and certain mock drafts, which players will be available. I believe I have four or five different things, whether it be taking a guard. Brandon Sheriff is how he likes.
Is this Sheriff?
He likes people to call him Sheriff. Brandon Sheriff. That's how he likes people to pronounce his last name.
Wow.
Trey Waynes, Devontae Parker. There are a couple other guys, and then obviously that would change whether we take Randall Cobb. Not Randall Cobb, David Cobb in the third round
from Minnesota
and whatnot. So we'll go all over that coming up here.
We're going to do that. Well, let's break it down then, just the way he explained it, and then some. And we will do all of that right here at Radioactive Sports.